Prison Colony Resistance is brought to you by Sam and the Maxman Productions.
That's a heavy metal band, I think.
Yeah.
So that's why they call me the Vax Man. I'm always thinking of Vax ideas out there. So Tim, let me introduce you for the show. Listeners, we are very lucky to have with us Mr. Tim Dwyer. He is a voice at the rallies. He is a voice of resistance. He is a voice of logic and reason, of principled objection to these tyrannical mandates that are happening all around us. I'm sure you've seen him speak. He's famous. He's infamous. Without further ado, here's Tim. How you going, Tim?
I'm excellent, Maxman. I'm excellent. How are you, Sam?
I'm very well, thanks. It's really good to have you. You were definitely on my list of guests when we started this thing. So I'm glad you are number one.
Well, it's good to be number one at something, I tell you, and I'm glad to be number one here. So
that's good. We're happy to have you.
So, Tim, no introduction that I give can actually summarize all the achievements that you've made in the resistance movement. So would you be kind enough for listeners who may be not as familiar with your work as we are? Can you tell them a bit about what you're doing and what your goals are, what your objectives are, and all the resistance talks that you do?
Wow.
Big question.
Holy moly. I've known for 30 years that we've got a government that's a corporation. Our government's not a government as most people would perceive it to be a government. And so for 30 years, we've rallied against the beast, you know, we've raged against the machine, so to speak. And, some of the things that we've done in the past is that we put a commercial lien on the Premier and the Attorney General of South Australia. We've gone to war with the ATO, and we now have a document from the ATO stating that, yes, you're correct, Mr. Dwyer, the ATO is not a legal entity. It cannot sue, nor can it be sued. However, there's all when you're dealing with the ATO, there's a however. However, the commissioner or deputy commissioner or second commissioner can sue on behalf of the ATO. And I thought, well, that's fair. So I wrote back and said, well, could you please send me the commissioner, deputy commissioner or second commissioner's ABN number and bank account number so as I may pay any purported tax? And they said, oh, no, you cannot pay a commissioner, deputy commissioner or second commissioner. You must pay the ATO. I said, well, I can't pay a non-entity. It does not exist at law. And so there is the rub. How do you pay a nothing?
So we stop paying.
Easy.
I like that.
Yeah.
That's very existential, Tim. That's almost, you're talking metaphysics there. You're talking, quantum dynamics. And is there a here or there? So are these the kind of talks that you give at the presentations, at the rallies? Are you trying to inform the public about the legal stance of things?
Because I'm not a lawyer and I don't have the right to practice what they call law, at the rallies, I talk more in terms of trying to inspire people to be strong at heart, to don't fall down, you know, stay strong, build the resistance, build the numbers. And everybody at the rallies, they already know that it's wrong. They don't need someone to tell them that the system's broken. They know it's broken. What they need is, they need people to stand up there and say, look, you know, it's hand in hand, arm in arm, brother beside sister, one behind the other. And we will just keep marching and building the force, building the army, build the resistance, build the numbers. And it's more of a inspiration and a motivational process that I take, because there's plenty of other people giving them a lot of technical information and clinical information. And anybody on social media today on this side of the argument has plenty of information. I think we've got that much information. We're buried under the information. What we want is a bit of inspiration or a bit of motivation to continue the fight. And so that's the role I think I see myself play at the major rallies. A lot of the smaller things that I do my own Zoom rooms and stuff like that in teaching people constitutional law, doing that sort of thing. And we've been
constitutional law.
Yep. And we've been studying the Constitution and working with very, very, very knowledgeable constitutionalists for the last 30 years. So we've got a rough idea what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Well, I must say, if your motivation was to motivate other people while talking at these rallies, it has absolutely worked, because the first time I heard you, I walked away from, I think it was the first rally I attended, and I heard you. I walked away after hearing you. I went, you know what, damn, I actually feel really good after what you said. And the second rally I went back to, I was like, damn, I hope that, I forgot this guy's name, but I hope he's there again. And sure enough, you were there again. And again, I walked away feeling a hell of a lot of positivity and motivation to keep going on this path. And back then I didn't know it was going to end up the three of us talking tonight. It's funny how life turns out. It really is. But
they do say Adelaide is a small city, and you'll eventually run into everyone, and here it is right here in the flesh. The three of us in the same Zoom room.
Yep. So you might not get a lot of you might get a lot of feedback, I don't know, but for someone like me who finds himself in a position with no job because of these mandates, you've definitely helped ease a little bit of the pain. And, I'd just like to thank you for that, really.
My pleasure, Sam. And look, thank you for that feedback. It's nice to know that, the words you speak and the effort you put in reaches somewhere. And I tell people, look, our job is, as freedom fighters, in a sense, we've got to look at ourselves a bit like farmers. We've got to plow the ground and sow seeds, And in doing that, it seems that we plowed the ground and here's a seed that sprung up out of that ground. So thank you very much.
You're most welcome.
I do have to agree with Sam, Tim. The rallies are fantastic. I've been to lots of rallies, and we just saw you at a picnic that's run by a friend of ours. It's called Gawler, Barossa Valley Freedom. That's the name of their Telegram channel. And they have picnics every fortnight out at Dead Man's Pass in Gawler. It's a fantastic community. And Tim just spoke there this past weekend, and it was a fantastic talk, Tim. And like what Sam is saying, I feel really enriched when I hear you talk, because I hear a principled man speaking truth to power. And that's so rare nowadays. And then I leave the rallies feeling high and feeling elated. I get home, and then the week, the daily grind of being one of the only ones and feeling isolated and alone just kind of wears me down. When I get to like a Friday just before a rally, and I actually look forward to the fact that I'm going to see you the next day giving a speech and then puffing me up again for the week to come,
Yeah. Look, years ago we worked in a very large marketing organization, and somebody once said that, you need, first of all, you need, no matter what it is you're doing that's going to matter in life, you need the commitment inside, right? We need to be committed, right? That's a decision that's made not in the heat of battle. That's a decision that's made probably in the cold of the night, really, that commitment. But then we need the motivation. But motivation's a bit like vitamin C. It don't last long. We got to go back and get more vitamin C, or we'll end up pretty crook. And that's the same with motivation or inspiration. And it's, I think today people have a terrible situation today where the dreams and the goals and the visions they had for their 5 or 10 year vision into the future was grabbed by a handful of maniacs, lunatics, self-serving, you know, I don't know what to call them. Well, elitists. I call them parasites. Elitist is, you know, elitist is like an elite athlete, right? These people are the grand parasites of the world. And they took those goals and those dreams and those passions that people had to build their businesses for the guys going through higher education. And they just tipped that bucket upside down right into the shitter.
Yeah.
And so what happens now is, and this is part of my message always, is, you know, this is the most insane situation the world's ever seen, including all the world wars. This is even more insidious than a world war. Why? Because this is on being fought on every continent on the planet, and it's being orchestrated in the shadows that you can't reach out and grab those pulling the strings and punch them on the nose and tell them to stop. And so this is the most insidious thing. And so I tell people that in this great crisis, the reason that a crisis exists is to produce an opportunity. And so, okay, we no doubt we are in a crisis. The whole idea of this is to destroy the economy of the world, to bring in the one world government. It's got nothing to do with health or viruses or any of that rubbish, to bring in the one world government, the one world currency, the one world religion. That's what this is all about. And to do that, they've got to wipe out 2/3 of the population and do all that sort of stuff. And they've got a good head start into doing that. So we've got to look for the opportunity in this. Where lies the opportunity? Now, Sam, you lost your job, right? And if you hadn't lost that job, you'd have probably sat there for years to come doing the same job day in, day out, and you'd tick along. Well,
I was happy to, you know, eke out an existence where I was. I was happy to be providing for my family. I had the flexibility to be home in the evenings with my wife and my son. And then, you know, with one policy that got put forward, all that goes, all of it gone.
Yeah. Right. Now, what this does, this then turns around and says, okay, Sam, what else have you got inside you? What else? Get this gray matter running here, sunshine. What else have you got going on that you can actually do? And I tell people over and over again, listen, if you're terrified of this thing called a virus of some sort, and you don't trust your own immune system that's held mankind bolt upright for thousands of years against all odds, if you don't trust that and you want to trust a government official who wouldn't know the truth if it rose up and slapped them up the side of the head, if you want to trust that person and you want to go and get vaccinated, you go and do that. That's fine. But if you don't want to do it and you are being forced into it, walk away, because whilst you've got your health, you can find something else to do. You know, I've it's sad. I got people, a huge list of people who took the shot to keep their job and now are so sick they can't work the job. You know,
and how many of them are actually sitting at home and just being eaten up with anxiety because they know they didn't want to do this? Right. So they're thinking, OK, I didn't want to do this. What are the potential short term, medium and long term side effects? And is it coming after me? I could not imagine the anxiety that would just creep into your head every second of the day. It would drive you insane.
I remember when I was young and we would meet family members and friends. And the one thing we would say to each other is, at least you have your health. Do you remember that expression when we would greet each other? Everything can be horribly wrong. You lost your job, you're getting divorced, you're losing the kids in the custody battle, everything, but at least you have your health. And now most 90% of our state, South Australia, has been double vaccinated, and still they do not have their health, and still they are afraid. So what can we do? Tim, we see that outside. We're trying to tell everyone that's the reality. That's how people are thinking on the street. How can we snap them out of that? And I don't know what else to do, Tim. Like, what can we do?
Well, there's an old saying that says, a man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. All right? Now, we're going to try and tell these people that they've made a mistake. Now, deep down, they know they made a mistake. Mm-hmm. They don't want to admit it because it is such a grievous thing that they will defend it, right? They will defend their decision. And so I don't think we're going to be able to wake a lot more people up, right? And we'll call it that if you like. I think we are where we are. Now, whether the numbers are real or not, whether they're saying 90% is real, I've got this ingrown disdain or distrust for politicians. And the reason for it is I'm a little bit older than you guys. Like, I'm pushing 70. And, I haven't ever in all my years, I'm going to go back a long way. I left school when I was 14. So I've been out in the world in the workforce since I was 14. And I've never seen or heard a politician tell the truth in all that time. And so now that they're telling me they got 90% vaxxed, I'm going to treat them with the same. Yeah, maybe not. Here in Australia, and it was probably the same in the US for you. And vaccine man. And it was, how do you know a politician's lying? Well, his lips are moving, and so what we have to do, I think, is let's not try and convince them they've made a mistake. Let's turn the tables around a little bit and ask them some questions. Hey, listen, with the way the economy is and the businesses are shut down and, kids' education destroyed and all this sort of stuff, do you trust the government? And they're going to go, hell no. Now, they're going to go, hell no, because deep down inside, they knew they forced them to get the jab. They knew they forced them out of their job or whatever. And the bottom line is, hell no, I don't trust the government. Okay. Question. How do you not vote for them? Oh, yeah. And just leave the questions. Right. Let them ponder the question, plow the ground, plant the seed. Do you trust the government? The more people we can ask that question of, the government that we have, and this is probably a talk for another day, is just an incorporated body. It's got the same amount of legal authority that Ronald McDonald's got, except people have got this perception that they think the government's real. But it's not. But anyway, so do you trust them? No.
Definitely right? Not.
Mm. Definitely so the more of those seeds we sow, the better. And we can't undo the damage that's been done, unfortunately.
What I'd like to touch on, you mentioned a little while back, the one world government, the one world religion, the one world banking. So.
Yep.
I've got my wife's uncle. He's stood firm. He hasn't taken the vaccine. He won't. He's very steadfast in his thought process. But he keeps saying, if this is worldwide, how are they? If this is worldwide, how is every single country in on it? He's finding it a little difficult to kind of comprehend that this is such a global kind of mind fuck for a use of a better word. How would you go explaining to someone like that who's kind of not where we are just yet?
Yeah, you see this is the situation, and I'm going to say use terms here that I don't mean derogatory or anything like that, but the average person, you and me, people like us, the average mum and dad, because of their decency, because of their lack of actual real knowledge instead of they've replaced information, put information in place of knowledge these days. So with the lack of knowledge, the average person cannot get their head around the enormity of what these people are capable of, right? Now, think about this. I've got a video of Bill Gates sitting there describing how they're going to insert, oops, sorry, guys, apologize for the little ding ding there. I'll get rid of all that. That the whole system, Bill Gates is sitting there talking about how he is going to insert all this programmable DNA attachment into the 7 billion people on Earth. And he said, this is going to take an incredible amount of cooperation around the world. Now, Klaus Schwab, who is the head of the World Economic Forum, right? Now, Klaus Schwab is a transhumanist. His belief is that the humankind will be better off with microchips in the brain and being able to be controlled by a central organization, right? That's Klaus's theory. Now, Klaus Schwab said in a recent interview that they have world leaders, politicians in every country, church leaders around the world, industrial leaders around the world, that they are working with and helping financially bring this to be. Now, let me explain this to you. $1 billion is 1,000 million, right? Now, Klaus Schwab, Bill Gates, the World Health Organization, and the Rockefeller Foundation, put them all together, and there's an amount of money in there that you and I couldn't count in two lifetimes. So what happens is they go to a hypothetical, they come to Australia and go to Scott Morrison, and this is hypothetical. I'm not saying Scott Morrison's on the take. I'm not saying that he's got an offshore bank account somewhere. I'm not saying that he's been paid to destroy the nation. I'm not saying that. But hypothetically, what would happen if those guys came along and said, here, ScoMo, here's $100 million for when you retire. Now, we want you to do this, 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 and this. Right? Now, we've seen that be done in other countries. Belarus, $850 million was offered in Belarus. I don't know. By the time they got through about $20 or $30 billion, they probably influenced a truckload of people.
Now, a lot of the web of corruption that you're talking about, Tim, is detailed in the new book by Robert Kennedy about Anthony Fauci, and he diagrams how Fauci has gotten into a position where he can direct universities almost on a worldwide scale through the billions of dollars that flows through his NIH, that he can basically direct studies into however he wants to take them. So vaccines, pharmaceuticals, those kind of treatments, excellent, but actually studying the effects of vitamin D or studying the adverse events of vaccines and the connection to autism, that kind of funding is suppressed. And we've seen that Fauci seems to be in conjunction with another push by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation on top of our Commonwealth government, as well as our state governments. Can the corruption actually run that deep? Are we just looking into the corners and seeing monsters that aren't actually there?
The monsters are there. They are there and they're alive and they're well and they're being well fed and well positioned. When you look at the World Economic Forum, for instance, some of the early global leaders in the Global Leaders Program were people like Jacinta Ardern, Bill Gates. You've got Greg Hunt, the Australian
Director
Health Minister.
Strategy.
He was director of strategies for the World Health Organization, not World Health Organization, for the World Economic Forum, right? Now, these people are just, I think the English language fails when you describe the morals and the ethics of these type of people. There's no word low enough or foul enough or disgusting enough. So there's two ways I phrase it. One is I call them ankles. And why would I call them an ankle? Well, an ankle is about 18 inches lower than an arsehole. Right?
I'm going to use that. I'm going to take that. Thank you very much.
And so there, I call them ankles. All right. And the other way I describe these people who would turn on their own kind. You see, man's inhumanity to man knows no boundaries. We are yet to find the depths of depravity that man will sink to. We're getting close, but there's more to come, right? So these people are so low in their morals, their ethics, and that unfortunately they're running around with a title called honorable, right? The honorable Greg Hunt, the honorable Scott Morrison, the honorable Premier this or Premier that. I tell people that these people are so low that they would have to crane their neck backwards to look up at the arse of a snail. That's how low they are. And we are following that. The population is following these people like the Pied Piper to the edge of humanity, to the edge of the destruction of mankind.
Yeah, they're a little bit like lemmings, aren't they? You know, just off the cliff we go.
Off the cliff we go.
You know, as these mandates were coming into my workforce, like I knew these were coming in, you know, long before they actually happened. So I was trying to gather enough people to actually, you know, understand what was happening. So, you know, people would say, why are you like this? You know, what's wrong with you? I said, okay, I want you to go away. I want you to research three things. And I would give them the World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab, Bill Gates. And, you know, like 99% of them never heard of, like, the first two. They, of course, they heard of Bill Gates, you know, because of computers and Microsoft and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But I found that they couldn't even be bothered to actually look into this kind of stuff and be prepared to what was, you know, about to unfold. And I'm quite happy. I'm sitting back now. You know, my workplace has just mandated the third shot. And I'm sitting back, sitting going, well, you know, I don't like to be the guy that said, I told you so. But guess what?
I kind of told you so.
Well, that's why we're here. That's why Prison Colony Resistance is here. We're here to explain this information. We're here to lay it out for you. We're here to connect the strands. So let's do a bit of explaining, Sam. For those who don't want to do their own research, even though you say to them, look it up. Look it up. It's there. The facts are there. Nobody cares. They just, And then they walk past you and they live their own lives. So let's connect it for them. We've mentioned the strand of, Tim, you mentioned that these vaccines are might be a population control measure. So we're expecting perhaps that these mRNA gene therapies, as have shown in all of the animal studies previous to the human injections, all of the animals died because of Merrick's disease. So look that up, folks. You'll see what that is. And we're looking at that. We're also looking, as you mentioned, the politicians that are extremely corrupt and have literally given away the lives of their populations, of their citizenry, and their own souls in exchange for a little bit of money. Maybe more than a little bit, but is it really going to count in the end? We've also discussed the fact of a centralized control, and we've looked at people who don't really listen and they just walk off a cliff. So is the only people going to be left on Earth, are they only going to be corrupt, petty politicians? Is that what I'm fighting? Is that what I'm resisting and trying to live in this new world after the culling?
Well, it's interesting. You know, what we look at here is that what a lot of people don't know is that there is an experiment going on within the experiment. All right. So everybody's got to be double shot, triple shot. And we know that various different batches have various different strengths of bits and pieces in them, all right? And so there's more fatalities after various different batch numbers go through and all this sort of stuff. Now, at the moment, we know that 1% of all the vaccine injuries are recorded and reported. And that was done by a Harvard University study. So a reasonable sort of school to do the study, Harvard. Most people have heard of Harvard. So it's not a Tim theory on life. Now, at the moment here in Australia, we have something like 700 people dead after the vaccine.
778.
778. All right. Now, let's call that 1%. So that would be 77,000 dead. Right. Now, then there's, I think, 900,000 injuries. So that would be 9 million injuries. Okay. And so if we had a product, like I'm a manufacturer in my own business, I've got my own little manufacturing business. And if my product out there in the marketplace killed 700 or 7,000 or 70,000 and injured 9 million in a year, I don't think they'd let me sell it anymore. Right. So what are we going to be left with? Well, within the whole process, some of them are getting the first shot saline, second shot goose juice. Some of them are getting first shot goose juice, second shot saline. Some of them are getting two salines, and some of them are getting two goose juice. So there's an experiment within the experiment.
And it also depends, Tim, as well, if you're going for the Pfizer or the Moderna, because the Moderna, when you do two shots, I think you're at 100 micrograms versus the two Pfizers where you're at like 60 micrograms. You're getting almost double the two shots of the Pfizer with the two Moderna. That's a lot of boost juice.
Oh, yeah, mate. That's goose juice everywhere, right? Now, I'll guarantee you this, that there's not a politician or a doctor or anybody else involved or a chemist in this thing that has taken the real juice, right?
Hold on. What about the, look, his name escapes me. He was there.
Oh, you're right.
Yes.
He got that thing in the legs, didn't he?
Yeah. He's got the New South Wales minister. Yeah. The assistant minister for health or something like that. He had the Bell's palsy.
Yeah. He had the patch on the eye. Mm.
You know, the bloke over in the West, he gets his shot with the cap still on. you know, anyway, so what are we going to be left with? Well, here's what I believe what we're going to be left with. We're going to be left with a great number of people who are partially transhuman. And when you are transhuman, you have a genetically modified product operating within your DNA, and whoever owns the patent of that product owns the whole product. So you will be an owned commodity. We will have probably a third of the population left unjabbed and clean, what I call clean skins.
It's like the Hunger Games.
Well, it is. And I believe, and I have to believe this because it's what I'm all about, I believe that the decent people, the people who haven't succumbed to the fear, you know, there was a movie made years ago, a kid's movie, you may have even watched it yourselves as kids, called The Neverending Story, and the nothing was coming, right? And what's the nothing? The nothing is when men and women lose their hopes and dreams of the future, they become easy to control, right? The nothing is coming.
I'm going to have to rewatch that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I missed that when I was a kid. I just remember the flying dog.
So you go back.
That's dark, man.
Yeah, that's tough stuff, right?
I have a bone to pick with that movie because my wife still swoons whenever she sees that kid who rides the flying dog. She sees that. I remind her of that character. She goes,
Well, it's right near the end of the movie when that story and the wolf is there, and the wolf's trying to help destroy the nothing, help destroy Fantasia and bring in the nothing. Anyway, so what we're going to be left with is a lot of people who have got a lot of nothing left in them. They're empty souls. Yeah. But you and I, the strong people, the people that didn't succumb to the fear, the people that didn't believe the lie, the people whose soul, I think, was too strong, that stood and was able to withstand the 2, 3, 4, 5 years of the most intense mind control propaganda program ever devised on planet Earth against mankind, we have been able to withstand it somehow. So we, I believe, will in a relatively short time, that doesn't mean weeks or months, but a relatively short time, because we have the truth on our side, because we have the law on our side, I believe, at least here in this country, that we will have the possibility to arrest by law every politician, every media outlet, boss and presenter who has promoted this death cult, and they will be dealt with according to the law. And I'm talking common law, not corporate law. I'm talking the 1914 Crimes Act,
King's Justice,
not the 1986 rubbish. Right. And so therefore we will have a new form of governance without the corrupt government. And we will move into a time, but there's a hell of a battle still to be fought.
Most definitely.
Yeah. If I could add to him, like, people see it from the outside. Any listeners who are not living in Australia are just looking at this from the outside in, and they may not grasp all the minute details that we can bring them. When we're saying these things, it might sound outlandish. It might sound like we're looking at 3 or 4 years of intense struggle. It might sound like we're being, you know, we're just trying to sell the podcast with like doom talk, right? However, in our day-to-day lives, we have known several people. One famous person that the podcast will interview is Monica Smith. Monica Smith was incarcerated because she told people to go to a rally and not wear a mask. And they arrested her for incitement. And they kept her in solitary confinement because she refused to have conditions imposed on her that would have the police show up at her door whenever they wanted to jab a pole up her nose to make sure that she still tested negative. And she objected to that, and they kept her in confinement for almost a month before she was able to see the Supreme Court. This is someone that we know. And this is happening more and more and more. They're picking more people up off the street for breaching these conditions. You don't hear about it, but it's happening. And to top it all off, we have the quarantine camps that we've all heard about that are built and are getting ready to be filled with, I don't know. So are we looking at a struggle of Mad Max proportions, Tim? Or are we looking at, hey, we have an election coming up. Let's be sensible and let's not go Mad Max. Let's just vote sensible people into power. Which should we choose, Tim?
Yeah. Well, we certainly don't want to go Mad Max, right? That's not a lot of fun, I don't think. And, you know, again, the definition of insanity is to continually do the same thing over and over and over again, thinking you're going to get a different result. So we've got an election coming up. Well, Australia has just introduced the Dominion voting machines for counting.
Yeah.
Right? And so, all right, oh, let's go vote. Let's go and vote them out. Let's keep the bastards honest. Really? How did that work in the US last time? Let me try and recall how that went down. Oh, that's right. Didn't work too good. So what I think we're going to find here is this, and I can't let too much out of the bag, but there is a certain state in this country that is currently training ex-military and ex-police on how to arrest the politicians under common law. And so watch that space. The other side of it is ordinary citizens today in this country, ordinary people, like I'm an old bloke, you know, I'm nowhere near as powerful and strong as I used to be as a young man. As a young man, I worked as a wool presser in the shearing sheds, and I could, with an old hand press, I could press 30 bales of wool, and each of them weighing 300 pounds. And so, you know, today I don't have that power in me. or that strength, but I've still got power of spirit and soul. But because of my speaking out, I got a phone call from the counter-terror organization wanting to know whether I'm a terrorist.
Wow.
Right? Are you now, serious?
I'm serious, dead set serious, right? And when we were talking about arresting politicians, they said, what are you going to do? Kick down the doors of Parliament and drag them out? What are you planning on doing? And I laughed at him. I said, you've got to be joking, you know, like seriously? And I said, look, under the Constitution, the Australian Constitution is a very powerful document. In actual fact, it's been deemed one of the most incredible legal documents of the modern era. And yet it's been banned out of the schools since 1970-something. So the people aren't taught their constitutional rights. Mm-hmm. And I said to him, under the Constitution, we can do this, this, and this. He said, which Constitution? And I said, aha, by the very fact you've asked that question, you know that there is the original Constitution of 1900. I said, and you know that there's a fraud, or at least another one, of 1986. I said, and you're working under the 1986 fraud one that Bob Hawke introduced, our Prime Minister back then. And he introduced a thing called the Australia Act in 1986 that took God out of the Constitution, took people out of the Constitution, and took the Queen out of the Constitution, amongst many other changes. I said, and on the very same day as he did that, they changed the penalty for treason, which was death by hanging, to 5 years imprisonment. So don't tell me they didn't know what they were doing was treasonous, right? And so what I said to him, I pointed out what terrorism is. I said, look, terrorism is one group of people controlling another group of people with absolute fear and threat of financial or physical disaster. I said, that's where the Australian politicians and media have been for the last 2 years. I said, if you want to go arrest terrorists, you better go to Canberra. You better get into the politicians. You better get into the media houses, because there you will find the actual lawful definition of terrorists, and they are operating in plain sight. I said, and if you fail to do that, under our constitution, when the time is right, we will come and arrest you. And if you're found guilty of treason, you too shall be hung by the neck until dead. And he laughed. He said, I've never had anybody tell me I'm a terrorist, and I've committed treason. I said, well, it's about time you went and did some homework, sunshine. And so that was my conversation with the counterterrorism group. So ordinary people speaking up against the government here in Australia are receiving calls from the counterterrorist group.
Well, it's a big no-no, isn't it? I mean, we're not allowed to actually have an opinion that goes against the narrative, does it? Like, we're looked at like we're absolutely mad.
Yeah. You know,
and it doesn't matter how cohesively an argument we put forward, we're still put in a category that, you know, we're tinfoil hat wearing anti-vaxxer conspiracy theorists.
Yeah. Crazy, crazy right wingers.
Yeah, neo-Nazi far right nutters. And I can tell you what, I'm absolutely none of those things.
That's right, I know.
I'm just bloody passionate about this country. Like, man, you know, I had a good childhood, man. I grew up in the 80s, you know, was good here during the 90s. And, you know, there was one thing you could count on in this country, man. If you left school, you could go get a job and you would have somewhat of a decent life. You'd work bloody hard for what you had, right?
Yeah.
But you were kind of, you know, safe in the fact that you could do this. And now, gone.
You know, years ago, my wife and I did a lot of traveling. We traveled to a lot of places. We traveled through Canada. We traveled across the United States, into Spain. We traveled through Asia, you know, Thailand, Vietnam, into China. And when we're in Beijing in China, everywhere you go, you got someone following you, keeping an eye on you, right? As a Westerner. And you don't see them at first, but they're there. Well, today that's been taken care of a lot by technology and facial recognition cameras. And this is how good it is. Here in South Australia, sleepy little Adelaide, South Australia has now been loaded up with facial recognition cameras in every major town. And Stephen Marshall, our illustrious leader, who, by the way, his advisor and assistant, she's Chinese, had said that they're going to trial facial recognition cameras for the koala population.
Is that what they're calling us? Okay.
Yeah. No
worries. Well, it's interesting. It's interesting because that technology is all based on artificial intelligence. Like, artificial intelligence is the machine learning apparatus that allows for that technology to operate. And what AI really needs is data. So the more data they have, the more able they're able to differentiate between this face or that face. So if they're getting into koala faces and differentiating one koala from another, the technology is beyond reach right now. That's insane.
But like, this is why they've been so insistent on the social distancing and, you know, the 1.5 meters apart, because when you're in a large cluster of people, it's bloody hard for a camera to actually pick up all the defining features on your face, right? So now we've got this horrible, you know, invisible virus coming at us, and we've got to stay the hell away from everyone. So we're spread out. The cameras can pick us up, and it goes into their data bank, and they've got us.
We're all mandated a QR code. We all have to carry a QR code on an app that we have to download from them. We also have a record that we scan in everywhere we go, whether we're vaccinated or this vaccinated or that vaccinated. They know exactly where we are, who we are, and now they can recognize our face. This is like total control. I mean, this is beyond Mad Max at this point. This is insane. Why do they want to do this? What's the end goal? Okay, wait. May I theorize? We pull the strands together and we continue down this dystopian nightmare of people dying left and right, potentially from a bioweapon vaccine that in animal studies killed all the animals, might be doing the same thing to humans. People who are susceptible or more susceptible than others to the bioweapon start to die via for strokes, heart attacks, and all the other stuff that we're seeing everywhere. People start to get freaked out who are vaccinated. Those who are unvaccinated start to say, shit, I'm safe. The vaccinated start to resent the unvaccinated. Something sparks something else. Baseball bats, dogs and cats living together. Sheer anarchy.
Breakfast for dinner.
Well, yeah. Well, look, now that we've had that light conversation. Look, here's what I... Look, I've got to look at it this way, right? Around the world, there's millions and millions and millions of people who feel and think the same as you and I. Around the world, there's hundreds of millions who have succumbed to the fear. Fear is the most powerful weapon on earth. It's more powerful than an atomic bomb. Why? It's insidious. It creeps into your mind and you can't get rid of it. Once you've got it, you've got it, right? It's just... It's
paralyzing.
It's paralyzing. And when people are so confused, the one thing they'll do is they'll just stand still and take whatever the hell's coming. Look, yes, it will get bad. And I said at one of the rallies there a few weeks back, look, 1,000 may fall at your right and 10,000 at your left. Don't get faint. Don't fall down. Don't go down under that weight. This is one of the things where society now has to understand that the people who have chosen the path that we've chosen have to understand we are going to see our neighbors, our brothers, our sisters, our cousins. We are going to see them go down sooner or later. And when they do, we must still stand strong. We must know that conviction's in here that we must not fall, because if we fall, the whole world falls. And you sit there and think, yes, but Tim, you know, If I fell, it wouldn't make much difference. Yes, it would. It'd leave a gap. And when you pull the stones out of the wall will eventually fall. The wall must stand no matter what. And look, if it comes to baseball bat time, that's okay. I can handle that side of life. there's a lot of people that can't, and I understand that too. As a young man, I used to work in nightclubs as a bouncer. Those skills have still with me, but the strength is gone, as I said. But let's look at the brighter side of this. Where's the opportunity? What is it that we can do today to enable and empower those around us? Where's our opportunity here? This podcast, this is one thing, but we've got to empower people, not scare the shit out of people, because we don't want to add to the fear. We want to lift people up. We want to give people hope in a brighter future, not sit there and look at the dystopian world that's, you know, the coin could go one way or the other. Well, let's put the vibration, the harmonic, the, because every word we say carries with it a vibration, right? Now, I'm going down a little bit of a path here, but bear with me. Every thought travels faster than the speed of light. And I know this. Right? We've done experiments. I do a thing called EFT, emotional freedom technique. It's tapping. Some people just call it tapping. And I've had a mother here in South Australia whose daughter was in Bogota with an excruciating back pain. And so I used the mother as a surrogate tapping for the daughter in Bogota. Right, this girl was bedridden. She could not get up. She'd done something to her back, and they didn't have enough medical insurance and all the rest of the stuff. And so I got her to focus on a photo of her daughter whilst we did the tapping for the daughter's back pain. The daughter was on the phone at the same time we were doing it. And instantly the pain was relieved. Thought, the vibration of thought will travel around the world faster than the speed of light. We all are vibrating at some rate. And if we vibrate at a high rate of positivity, of love, and of just get out there and we're going to win, right? Then we lift the others around us up. But if we're talking, you know, too much dystopian, you know, God, we're all going to starve to death and they're going to lock us up in camps. And my God, I got to go and smash my neighbor's head in with a bat. That vibration brings everybody down. That's what they're planning on. They want people's harmonic down. People don't realize that their thoughts are vibrating. And if they are down, it's hard to get it up. I could do a whole seminar on this, but as we lift people up and tell people that they are stronger than they believe they are, they can come up with some idea how to make money, they can find another way to survive, they can do this, then we lift everybody. And we must lift people up. If the evil out there is what's dragging people down, we must not play a part in that. We must lift people up. Yes, we know what's going on. Yes, we're aware of the crap, we're aware of the facial recognition, we're aware of their programming. But let's move past that. Let's lift them up. Let's put some joy and hope into people. Let's build a dream. I know it's hard to build a dream when you're in the middle of a nightmare, but let's build a dream. You know, let's build a dream that we can wipe this bloody government out across the world, this pox-ridden bunch of people who none of them were elected. They're just rich parasites dictating to the rest of us how we should live. Well, get stuffed, right? Not interested, right? Bill, Mr. Gates, right? You can take your billions of dollars and your skanky wife and bugger off. Klaus Schwab, you can just get dressed up in your spaceman outfit again, right? And sit there and dream of chips in people's heads and dicks. I don't care. I'm not interested, right? And for Scott Morrison and all the rest of his donkeys, like now they're telling people here in Australia through the cabinet, which is illegal anyway, that if you're asymptomatic positive, you can still go to work if you're in the supply chain business, driving trucks and stuff. Like, it's Keystone Cops. You know, like, come on. And then you've got Joe Biddledick in America, right? He's stumbling around words like anything more than bloody three syllables, and he's done, you know, and it blows his mind. It's like watching an explode. And these people, you know, the politicians around the world, you know what? Here's what I believe happens. They want to make a decision. They've got to come up with a decision. Now, you've seen it happening around the world. They use the same terminology on the same day around the world, social distancing. COVID-19 was the one thing around the world on a day. Every country in the world got it on a day almost. All this sort of rubbish comes from somewhere. Wherever this comes from, the politicians take it on. Then they've got to go and make all their little decisions within their state and their country. These people make decisions like a bag full of rats in a burning meth lab. Right? And the decision-making process that Nicola Spirier comes up with, right? She must be the lead rat because she's running Queen around. She's running around in circles. Don't touch the football. Don't touch the football. Oh my God, there's an anchovy on a pizza box. Don't do this. Like, come on.
Don't people. Spend your Christmas with an unvaccinated person.
Yeah, like, oh, let's open the borders and prepare for a mass increase in cases. But the only people we're allowing over the border are the double vaxxed. What? Like, come on. These people are just meth heads. They've got to be meth heads.
Right. This is true. Never a truer word spoken.
Yep. Anyway.
That's a great message, Tim. I think I agree with you. I think we got to stay positive. We got to uplift. Yeah. I think it's very easy to slip and slide into that Mad Max dystopian. I kind of fantasize about being in that world, you know, being the guy with the leather chaps and his ass cheeks out in the wind. But I got to keep it sensible,
dude, man,
you know.
Don't put that in my head before bedtime, man. I don't want to have nightmares.
But I got to be sensible. We have to live in this world. So we do have to be positive, I think.
Let me tell you one little story, which is about survival, all right? Now, it's not a survival as in a Mad Max scenario. It's survival way back in the day. A young boy comes home from school. He's 10 years old. And on a Friday evening, when he comes home from school, mum and dad, well, they're already drunk. And so he doesn't want to be there for the weekend. So he gets on his push bike. He gets his dogs. He goes and gets the ferrets. And I don't know whether all your people know what ferrets are, but they're used for chasing rabbits out of the burrow. And you put nets over the hole at the end of the burrows and put the ferret down there. And he'd chase the rabbits out, right? And you catch the rabbits, kill the rabbit. So you got food. So, and he grabs the rifle, the 22 caliber rifle and two boxes of bullets. And off he goes for the weekend. And he's out in the bush all weekend and he sleeps with the dogs, keeps warm. And if it's raining, he's got a couple of spots where he can hide in logs and things like that. And he comes home and he always comes home with at least 20 to 30 rabbits. And so the family's got meat for the week, some to sell, and he keeps the skins. He sells the skins. So at 10 years of age, this kid's supplying meat to the family. His mum and dad, they don't have a lot of money left over for food by the time they've had a few drinks and a few smokes. People wonder why I failed at school. At 10 years of age, I was that kid out catching rabbits out in the bush with a rifle on my own with the dogs. Now, if you send a 10-year-old kid out into the bush today with a rifle, dogs, and a ferret, I don't think you got much chance of pleading sanity. However, back then, that's how we survived. And so when people say, Tim, do you think you could survive? Oh, hell yes. Yeah, just let me loose in the bush. I'll be just fine.
Well, that's resilience right there. And that is what's needed, definitely.
But that's how we had to grow up. That's how so many of us kids grew up back in the day, back in the 50s and 60s. Because we lived, when I say we lived in the bush, we lived in the bush.
Yeah.
You know, like if this was America, we'd be full-blown hillbillies, brother. We'd be rednecks to the nth degree, right? But you reinvent yourself, you grow, you develop, you come better and better and stronger and stronger. And that's what this has got to be all about. This is the opportunity where, you know, mum and dad may not be alcoholics, but the world's gone to hell in a handbag. So you've got to get better. You've got to adapt. You've got to find a way, just like the kids back then did. We had to find a way.
Yeah. Now, way. Daddy Marshmallow and Mommy Spurrier, they're not addicted to the alcohol, but they are addicted to the doom virus, and they do want to scare us all into bedtime. So, Tim, these great messages, this is why we invited you onto the podcast. This is why we wanted to chat with you, so that we could spread your love, your positivity to everyone out there who hasn't heard of you, hasn't heard you speak. So where can people find you? What contacts, what channels? Tell us about yourself. Where can we find you?
Well, I used to have a YouTube channel. I used to have a Vimeo channel. I used to have a Facebook page. And for some reason, I don't know why. I lost my YouTube channel. I put something up on YouTube and they go, boom, no more YouTube channel. Oh, didn't like that. So I put everything up on Vimeo and Vimeo goes, boom, no, we don't like that either. And after about 15 bans on Facebook for 30 days, Facebook now said, hooroo, we don't need you either. So where I am right now is on Tim's Truth on Rumble. Tim's Truth on Rumble. And I put up at least one video most weeks, maybe two, depending on what's going on and how motivated I get and whether my wife can calm me down enough or not to make it civil online.
yeah. Sometimes I don't need to censor yourself, please. Uncensored is the way to go.
Do you want to know what Sam does for fun, Tim? Sam goes on to go and tell him, Sam.
No, please. Like, I don't know where you're going. I don't know where you're going.
He goes on the SA Health Twitter feed and then he trolls them. He spends hours just trolling any person on the feed.
It's true. And not just SA Health. So I'll go in for politicians, and you know they haven't banned me yet. So I'll just keep going until they kick me off. I don't care.
Yeah, yeah. So, and the other thing we've just started. My first day is tomorrow. Tim's Truth Trailer. We've got a very large trailer that I've got signs made up for. They're 2.5 meters long, 1.5 meters high. And those signs are somewhat interesting when you have the Premier there with a big sign around his neck saying that I'm a domestic terrorist and all that sort of stuff. Then you have the stats for how children 0 to 20 have a 99.9999% chance of survival even if they catch COVID and this sort of stuff. So that's got to be driven around the city and around the Premier's office, around shopping centres, around political offices, up and down past Parliament, parked in front of Parliament. So that'll get around. So we're putting up a bunch of trailers called Tim's Truth Trailers. So you'll probably see some of that on other social media platforms. And I'm on Telegram. On Telegram, I keep a very low profile. I just watch Telegram as to what's going on and just to keep up with things.
All right, listeners. So you heard it here. Tim is driving around in a trailer with signs that are going to provoke the Prime Minister, the Premier Marshmallow to get upset, maybe even roast himself a bit, cause our Cruella de Spurrier to come out of her her cave and maybe scowl at him. So here is a challenge, listeners. If you see Tim's Truths trailer, triple T, we want you to take a picture and to post it on the Twitter. Hashtag TTT. And me. Hashtag TTT and me. You with Tim's Truth Trailer. Make it happen. Make it viral. Tim, we can't thank you enough for coming on and speaking to us. You're so generous with your time. You're so generous with your positivity. What can I say? I mean, thank you so much on my behalf.
It's been great, guys. I look and thank you so much for the opportunity to get this message out again and again and again. And I just wish you guys all the very best with your podcast. I hope it just literally takes off around the world, because the world is watching Australia right now. And look, guys, keep up the good work. Keep getting the invitations out there for people to come and speak. And even if you haven't got anybody to come and speak, speak your own truth. Yep. Everybody's got a story. Everybody's got their own truth. Don't hide the truth. The words that we hold back are the ones that weigh the most. Right? Speak the truth.
Mm. See, I'm going to leave here tonight feeling a hell of a lot better about myself. You know, and this is what you do. You know, hey, look, if you ever, hey, bring your trucks down south, right? And we'll all go out together. We'll gauge the reaction. We'll get people talking. Maybe we do a live podcast and you know, let's organize that. Let's definitely do that.
Yeah, let's do that.
I'll show you the sights down here.
Okay. Look forward to it, Sam.
Yeah, definitely.
There it is. The Prison Colony Resistance and the Team's Truth trailer, Triple T and me, hashtag. Don't forget, we're all going to bond. We'll be together and we're going to make it a positive future. Thank you all so much, Tim. Thank you for joining us today. Sam, thank you for being with us today. This is the Vax Man signing out. Thanks, everyone.
This has been Prison Colony Resistance, where you come to get your PCR test for truth.